Yes, hello and welcome to a new episode of my podcast, Dr. Biller Knows Everything Differently. And sitting across from me today again is Stefan Siebrecht, Dr. Stefan Siebrecht. Good morning, Stefan.
Hey, good morning.
Yes, we had already announced that today we want to talk about magnesium. Magnesium is what the Germans take the most. At least I think I once read, I don't know if it's a current statistic, but what is taken most often of the supplements is magnesium, is totally important, has umpteen functions in the body, is very difficult to measure. You don't even know if you have enough magnesium in your body because most of it is fixed somewhere. And when you do a blood test, you don't even know if you have a percentage in your head.
I think 1%.
I also mean 1%, something like that. 1% floats around in the blood, so when I do an analysis somehow, it's like a photo. Then I always say, when you photograph a limp, you don't think it's limping. You don't realize that you have to make a film, you have to take several shots, and so it is with the magnesium supply. Yes, there are various preparations on the market. They are everywhere, whether in the pharmacy, in the printer, in the food trade, there are various capsules. And so far, it has always been the case that inorganic salts are less well absorbed by the body than organic salts. That has always been the state of knowledge, and of course, the manufacturers have also spread it. Now you've dealt with it very intensively and have completely new insights, but they didn't surprise us either.
Yes. First of all, I would like to say about magnesium that it is my favorite element. I believe it is the most underrated mineral of all. I'll say that everyone knows calcium too. Everyone knows calcium bones. That's a one-word message. We also know today that this is not quite right, that we also consume too much calcium, which then does not end up in the bones, but causes arteries and high blood pressure. So I'm not a big fan of calcium, but magnesium, and we actually eat relatively little magnesium. So magnesium intake has decreased by 50-60% in the last 100 years, while calcium intake has almost doubled. Through cheese, milk, ice cream, etc., they just took a lot more.
That's a totally interesting message because it was over decades. The women always heard at the gynecologist that they had to eat more dairy products because otherwise they would get osteoporosis.
Yes, the problem is that milk actually also contains amino acids that contain heavy fall, i.e., it is an acidic food and thus tends to remove calcium from the body because the body uses the calcium from the bone as a buffer for the acid-base balance. And that's why animal protein is actually more calcium depleting. And the calcium that you actually eat would theoretically be enough if you take the carrier substances such as vitamin K, K2, and vitamin D3, which help to transport the calcium in the bones. That's very important. It's not in the Athenaeum, but in the bones. As I said, magnesium is actually underestimated, and most people don't even know where magnesium works at all. Many may know it from the cramps, muscle cramps.
That's what it always means. If you somehow have cramps in bed at night, muscle cramps, then magnesium deficiency.
That's right. Many days also confuse this with sports-induced cramps, although they are then more likely to be caused by sodium deficiency. When I sweat out a lot more salt, sodium, and the sodium deficiency causes exercise-related muscle cramps. And the literature, magnesium for therapy of these sports-related muscle cramps is 50% effective, show that it works. 50 doesn't show that it's working, so it's half-half. On the other hand, in nerve-related cases, i.e. restless leg syndrome, stress, high blood pressure, wherever the nerves practically trigger, the muscles, heart beats faster, muscle wit cramps, magnesium becomes relaxing. And it is precisely the antagonist of calcium. Calcium does the opposite. It tenses up. It causes pain. It is also important when transmitting pain, the heart beats faster. And magnesium and calcium are antagonists, so to speak. Calcium turns on the light. Electricity flows. Magnesium dampens, soothes, relaxes. That's why the applications for magnesium are very diverse and can also be used by humans. As I said, ADD in children, pain, PMS in women, sleep problems, anxiety, muscle cramps, but also tiredness, exhaustion, because it is needed for energy production. So there are an incredible number of effects of magnesium. But now comes the problem. Magnesium is also a very difficult element. It is not for nothing that we only have 28 grams of it in our bodies, while at the same time we have 2 kilograms of calcium in our bones. Although chemically speaking, it belongs to the same group of alkaloids because it forms cations, doubly positively charged. I've always wondered why, when you take 1,000 millimeters of calcium, you don't feel anything at all. But if you take 1,000 millimeters of magnesium, you get the most severe diarrhea. And the reason is simply that magnesium as an ion is very, very much smaller. That is, the charge density on its surface is extremely high. And that's why magnesium draws a lot of water around it. And this water shell inhibits practically the entire transport of magnesium. In order for it to be able to pass through this ion channel, where calcium and magnesium both have to pass through, i.e. also compete for this uptake, magnesium has an increasingly difficult time because it carries a lot of water around with it. You have to remove that first. So if I take a magnesium supplement and drink it with a glass of milk, then the milk calcium inhibits the absorption of magnesium because it goes faster. The same is also the case if I have managed to get magnesium into the blood, then it has to get from the blood back into the cell. There too, it has the water that has been drawn up in the blood. And that's why magnesium from the blood is very slowly absorbed into the cells. And if you have taken a very high dose, but the body does not manage to absorb it so quickly because it is slow, then it is simply excreted again. So we're not talking about the bioavailability of magnesium, what arrives in the blood because it usually ends up in the urine, but what ends up in the cell. And unfortunately, the main side effect of magnesium salts is this diarrhea. And that's what a lot of people have, 400 milligrams, 600, and say, I can't tolerate it at all, I'll get diarrhea. And then you either take less or you take a magnesium oxide, which is insoluble and therefore less bioavailable, and then you don't get diarrhea. And we at Thio have been thinking for quite a long time about what solutions could be offered. And then we developed a so-called endosomal magnesium. This is a water-insoluble magnesium, so it does not cause diarrhea.
Yes, where at first you would assume that if it doesn't dissolve in the water, then the body doesn't absorb it at all.
Exactly. And in order to increase this bioavailability, the particle size of these particles was very, very much reduced to 0.3 micrometers, i.e. 300 nanometers. That's not nano, that's just a micrometer, microparticles. And these small particles, which are or can be swallowed directly by the enterocytes in the intestine, are absorbed via a process called endocytosis. In other words, just as liposomes are swallowed. For example, the cell wraps itself around the particle, then opens the membrane inwards, and then it is simply swallowed. They can absorb that directly. And that's why our magnesium is not in competition with calcium, because it goes through these ion channels or iron ions or zinc. It is practically swallowed up via its own path with a very high bioavailability and does not cause diarrhea. And for the results you just mentioned, we're referring to the many different salts that exist. There are also modern salts such as bisgluconates or trionates or taurinates, which have very, very expensive accompanying substances, to which you then say, yes, that's why magnesium is better bioavailable or more effective. And then we have out of the desire.
I want to pause for a moment and explain again very briefly. We do not absorb magnesium in its pure form, i.e. as elemental magnesium. It's also available for sale. I think it burns quickly. Divers use this for welding underwater. Exactly, you're a chemist. So that has no place in the body. We always absorb the salts. So with the salts, you have magnesium as a positive ion, and then you need a counter ion, and then you have salt when that comes together. There are just those, depending on the case, such an oxide is very often used because it is just small all in all. And then you can put a lot into such a capsule. And the manufacturers have now brought various magnesium salts onto the market. And the larger this counter ion is, the less magnesium you absorb with the capsule. Of course, this is often particularly well tolerated just because there is not enough magnesium in it.
Exactly, that's how it is. In any case, most of them are water soluble. And water soluble means that this is dissolved in water and these two parts separate. The magnesium ion 2+ pulls the water around it. The other ion is then negatively charged, then also has its own water shell. And there was always the question, how will it be received? Is it absorbed as individual substances? The magnesium practically via this ion channel like calcium? Or are there any complexes that the counterion, the citric acid, or the malic acid, or lactic acid, or amino acids like the glycine that form some complexes around the magnesium and thus shield it so that you don't get diarrhea and a different intake is possible? And we have now made this experiment. We have obtained these salts, 15 different water-soluble salts, which are dissolved in an equivalent amount, the same amount of magnesium, in water, and then measured the so-called osmotic pressure, which directly describes in practice how many dissolved particles are in the solution. And if a complex were to form from 2, 3, 4 particles, then that would be a particle as a complex. Relatively speaking, you would measure less and also a lower pressure. And we actually expected that, what is anticipated. The result was frightening that we measured practically the same osmotic pressure per magnesium atom for all 15 salts we measured. Does that mean what? And that means that the magnesium of all salts is always present as a free ion, not as a complex. That it is always absorbed in all salts via the ion channels, and that this whole complex formation that is described, that is simple, that's a nice marketing story, but unfortunately we can now prove and measure that it doesn't exist, not in water. They may arrange themselves as powder in the solid state. But I don't eat the powder like that. I drink it in water or in my stomach, it dissolves.
I wanted to say, at the latest in your stomach, you have a watery flour.
And then, because of this, you can say all magnesium salts are the same. Magnesium chloride, magnesium citrate, magnesium bisguccinate, trionate. It's all a nice story, but in the end, it's the same. Magnesium 2 plus ions in water, which then goes the way or not. And we then measured the osmolarity of our product, and it was zero because it is not water-soluble, and thus does not cause diarrhea, an osmotic one.
I would like to try again because many people didn't imagine it or didn't pay attention in chemistry or physics class in the past. What is osmosis then? And that is a common term and is used quite often. But what is osmosis actually?
Osmosis emerged at that time with the so-called isotonic drinks. That was, so to speak, isotony in hypertension. And that's simply the number of dissolved particles. We all know that you shouldn't drink seawater because it will cause you to die of thirst because it has a very high osmotic pressure. You can imagine like this, if I have C particles in the left half, and now I have 1,000 particles, and on the right I have zero. Then I have a very high osmotic pressure at the 1,000 particles, and I don't have any particles on the left. And if I open this membrane, then the pressure would lead to the fact that I end up with 500 on the left and 500 on the right. Then I have the isotonic equal pressure on both sides.
We just imagine a container with water, and in the middle of the container is a membrane, but it only lets water through. But what we solve in there is not possible. This is a semipermeable membrane. And now you have significantly more particles on one side. And then this leads to the water flowing over so that the same concentration is present in both parts of the container afterwards. And this pressure, you measured it, that's this osmotic pressure.
Exactly. It can be used to measure the number of particles directly. That's why you shouldn't drink seawater, because it removes water from the body, because it wants to dilute this high salt content. And also no decides water, because it causes the cells to burst. So isotonic drinks mean that you drink exactly the same number of particles dissolved as is present in the blood. That would be isotonic.
Exactly. You know that from sports drinks. We have already explained this in passing.
Yes, exactly. Of course, if you use our magnesium now, then of course you have a hypertonic drink. I have a way to use magnesium. By the way, it is also of solubility. It is not soluble. It is dispersible. That means it looks like wall paint. It's like milk, very white. The floats, the particles are so small. You can also call it magnesium milk, where you are not allowed to use the term milk. But then it is without osmotic pressure, without diarrhea. Of course, this allows me to add other substances such as sugar or other salts without driving this osmosis so high that I become hypertonic and thus not so well absorbed.
What do you do now if all salts are the same, as you say, and you get diarrhea at higher doses? There are even doctors who recommend it. They say take as much as you need until you get diarrhea and then take one capsule less. Then you have the right amount?
Yes, one of the problems lies in the fact that it is not the amount of magnesium that arrives in the blood that is decisive, but that which reaches the cells from the blood. And less is more, because the body needs time for it. I'm not a fan of giving very high doses of magnesium, although that would be easier for many. Once a day, 400 milligrams, 500 milligrams, and then that's it. Studies have shown that it is easier and better if you take 100 milligrams as a maximum and 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day, because then you excrete and lose relatively less magnesium, and much, much more magnesium arrives in the cells, because otherwise we overload the system of magnesium transport. Overload. And there is, in this case, it is more difficult to take this regimen, this dose regime, 100 milligrams several times a day, but it is just very, very much more effective.
And what have you come up with now to make it all better?
Yes, we are still working on various product concepts. These are so-called concentrates, syrups, where you can then practically take this magnesium milk directly in liquid form, like a kind of drink. And of course, capsules and tablets are also these usual forms of administration. Some like that and prefer capsules. Others say, I can't swallow it, it's unpleasant. We also made gummy bears with magnesium, also for children, where they say, I'll put 50 milligrams in such a gummy bear, and then I can eat 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pieces of it. This is also an easy, pleasant way to supply yourself with smaller doses throughout the day. There are certainly different possibilities. But as I said, in this case, a distribution of the dose is cheaper than a single dose based on a very high amount.
Yes, totally exciting. And what we have just told you will probably not please many.
Yes, magnesium is a widely used element, a widely used, also produced. There are so many different magnesium salts. And of course, everyone wanted to see, why is my magnesium salt the best? And in the end, unfortunately, you have to say that they are actually all the same. That is, if they are water-soluble.
If they are water-soluble, exactly. That it therefore prefers to be insoluble in water.
But as I said, you also have to increase the awareness of magnesium even further. Because the Japanese, for example, have a 1-to-1 intake of calcium to magnesium so far. Still, so they have relatively little milk consumption. And the Japanese have the lowest rate of cardiovascular disease. While the Finns, for example, have 7-1 and have the highest cardiovascular rates. So you can say directly that calcium is the element that also damages us in the long run. And it is also a nutrient that has a whole group of drugs against it, namely the calcium antagonist, which are supposed to prevent the influx of calcium into the cells and thus lower blood pressure. And we have a huge problem in Europe with blood pressure. Many millions of people suffer from high blood pressure. And take calcium antagonists and then take a calcium supplement for their osteoporosis? That makes no sense in that sense. And there is magnesium. Calcium must be lowered in absorption and magnesium increased. That we come back to a healthier 2-to-1 ratio in the absorption of calcium and magnesium. That would actually be desirable.
I find it interesting what such nutrition campaigns bring over many years. That it has been said again and again, eat more dairy products and cheese. And the women then seem to have done it well. The men probably too. And we had a similar case with omega-6 fatty acids. The fact that people also said for many years that they eat margarine is much better than butter. Butter increases cholesterol levels. That's all nonsense, as we know by now. But this has led to the fact that we still eat an enormous amount of omega-6 fatty acids. About different oils?
Yes, omega-3, omega-6 ratio. That's just the decisive thing. I can happily eat more omega-3s. But I also have to eat less omega-6 ratios. That's just the ratio, whereby a 4-to-1 ratio is sought. While olive oil, for example, has 14-to-1, omega-6 to omega-3. So actually a very unfavorable relationship. There is this new book, The Nutrition Compass, by Mr. Bas Cast. This was also discussed on television. And Mr. Cast then really said, in one sentence, milk invented a traffic light system. Red, yellow, and green. Red would then be foods that are not recommended. And he got milk from him. Clearly a red card. The question was why. He said milk breeds cancer. That annoyed me a bit because that's just not true. He referred to a study, the so-called nervous health study in the USA, where 300,000 people have been analyzed over 30 years. Of these, 20,000 are nurses. And the result was that women who consumed full-fat milk actually had an increased risk of breast cancer. And at the same time, women who have consumed full-fat milk have a lower risk of breast cancer. The reason is that milk is a growth-promoting food, which allows small, young animals to grow quickly and thus to have a higher chance of survival. And there are also growth hormones in it, and they are fat-soluble. If I pull this fat out of the milk, then I have also reduced these growth hormones. If a person who is fully grown takes growth hormones, what is supposed to grow? Except hormone-relevant, hormone-sensitive organs. In men, it is the prostate. In women, it is the mammary glands. Mr. Cass has it like this, milk causes cancer. You can also see here that if you shorten something a lot, then the statement becomes wrong in the end. We also have this trend today, vegan milk substitutes. I find it very exciting to make a milk substitute product as well. But then they say again that we have to add calcium. Instead of saying, I'll take the devil out of milk, calcium, and pack it into a vegan alternative product. Instead of saying, I'll put the magnesium in there, then I would have an alternative, a plant-based milk with magnesium. I drink it as a counterbalance to the animal calcium milk.
Now we have developed new products for the industry again, by the way.
This is one of the concepts we are also working on. We buy a product from the supermarket, an oat milk, open it, dissolve our magnesium, the beginning is in there, and say, actually, it's already ready. You don't have to do anything else.
Wonderful. But you can use it to write bestsellers with simple statements.
Yes, that's right. The second sentence on the title, a participant there was also upset about it. It was called the Nutrition Compass, and then an overview of all nutrition studies. If someone says he is a journalist, Mr. Cast, and then has read a few hundred, maybe even 1,000 studies, but nobody, including me, could never claim that I have read all the studies and can give an overview of them. That's very presumptuous.
Except for Mr. Lauterbach, who always reads the studies at night.
You always have to see and interpret it in context. This nervous health study, over 800 publications were pulled out. That has given very decisive turns, because over such a long period of 30 years, 300,000 people have to observe what they eat, what diseases do they get. Some statements that we always believed were thrown a bit overboard, because then, for the first time, evidence was found that it was not so.
We are already chatting again. Wonderful, wonderful. We could go on like this forever, but we are firmly resolved. Not over 20 minutes. We didn't quite manage that now, but it doesn't matter. Stefan, as always, it was our third episode, is a lot of fun. Today about magnesium, very interesting things. Finally, take magnesium without diarrhea. You have the solution for that. Thank you very much for the great conversation. Thank you.
Take care.